Hey, I'm Scott Hanselman, and it's Azure Friday. I'm here with Brendan Burns, and we're talking about Kubernetes.
Yep.
And Kubernetes on Azure Container Service.
Yep, that's right.
Isn't Kubernetes Google?
Well, you know, it started at Google, and actually, I was at Google when I started it with a couple of collaborators there. Although, actually, all of the creators, the founders of the project, have actually since moved on from Google. And more recently, about a year ago, it was actually donated to the the Cloud Native Compute Foundation, which is a Linux Foundation-backed nonprofit, and so all of the intellectual property and all of the logos and everything else like that have been moved over there. And honestly, it really was a community project from the get-go. It was really designed to engage the community. It came out, I always say it came out with bugs and ill-formed so that we would make sure that the community felt motivated to get involved. And, you know, from the beginning, Red Hat put a lot of energy into it. Probably a third of the code that's in there right now is written by Red Hat engineers. And
that's great.
You know, Microsoft actually got involved early as well with support for Azure and things like that. So I think it's, while it maybe originated at Google and some of the ideas had been inside of Google for a long time, it really was a community project from the beginning. And it's, at this point, really, truly a community project.
So it really is a great by the people, for the people situation.
Yeah.
And then just in that introduction, you've talked about Red Hat and Microsoft, and Google and the community. So
yeah.
This is just a great piece of open source that is now part of the cloud infrastructure.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we just came from KubeCon. Where there was 1,200 people in Seattle who were here and from all over, right? From all over, different companies and people who were there just because they were open source hackers. It was really fantastic to see that kind of community come together.
So what is the nutshell of, what is Kubernetes for the person who is on the way to their job, maybe it's a Microsoft-centric job,
sure.
Or they keep hearing it, but they have no idea what it is?
Sure. Well, I mean, so Kubernetes, I mean, when you start talking about it, I think what you have to do is you have to be thinking about containers, right? Kubernetes is a container orchestrator. Right, and so people may feel the same way about containers, right? They've heard about Docker, they've heard about containers, but they're not necessarily sure. Even if in the Windows-centric world, they've heard about Docker coming to Windows 2016, but they don't really know, like, why, right? And I think that the nutshell is it's just a more reliable way to package and deploy software. So containers are a really great way to take what's running on your laptop and run it in the cloud and have assurances that it'll be the same, right? That the thing that you ran on your laptop will run the same in the cloud. But it's not sufficient because it doesn't, you know, the trick is that while a container will package the software, it doesn't really operate it when it has to stay up all the time, right? So what Kubernetes steps in is to say, well, okay, it's great, you have this thing that works on one machine, now how do we make it work on 1,000 machines or 5,000 machines? And how do we do things like roll out from version 1 of your software to version 2 of your software without taking any downtime, right? These are expectations in the cloud world that, and it's a piece of software that's intended to help with that.
And you know, 10, 15 years ago, we would think about taking like one website and we would put a round robin load balancer on it. We'd have four of them and we'd have a web farm.
Right.
We are not talking about that. We're talking about thousands of things, different responsibilities, all talking to each other, staying up, some of them are going down, discovery, and all of the orchestration. It really is an orchestra.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really, it's more than just replicating something and load balancing across it. It's ensuring that the pieces are isolated from one another by things like service discovery so that I can scale, you know, the middleware of my service without scaling the, without having to tell the front end, you know, the thing that scaled, right? It just knows, oh, I talked to this, you know, service discovery thing, and it spreads it out to however many replicas there happens to be. Right?
20 years ago, I was working at a place called 800.com, and we had the product catalog, and we had the shopping cart. And then we woke up on Christmas, and the traffic changed. Everyone was trying to give us money.
Right.
And we were manually putting boxes and computers into racks to make the shopping cart service bigger.
Right.
Should have been automatic.
Right. And I think the other part of that you're getting at there is that we're moving to a world where you can scale the pieces without scaling the machines.
Exactly.
Right. So you can say, like, well, that shopping cart service suddenly needs to be bigger. I don't need to actually maybe even rack more machines. I have excess capacity. I just grow the number of containers that I have serving those, and they spread out across the machine. So Kubernetes really enables you to forget about machines and really think about your application.
So how does that live in Azure?
So in Azure, it lives in Azure Container Service is one way. There's actually a variety of ways you can run it, but Azure Container Service is the easiest. And what that really does is it takes the software and it deploys it onto a bunch of virtual machines, and it integrates with the Azure command line, makes it really easy for you to start getting using the the Kubernetes command line itself and get started with the cluster.
Mm-hmm. So. One of the things that people look at when they look at Azure, whether it be things like, you know, HD Insight, is this idea of software as a service where we're handling a bunch of the complicated stuff, the administrivia.
Right. Right.
What do we, and but with something like Kubernetes, I don't necessarily want you to hide it all from
right.
me. So where's the balance between hiding things from me
right.
and dropping me at the command line and saying good luck?
Well, I think that what we're trying to do is drop you at a different command line, I guess, maybe is what I would say, right? I think you do kind of want to forget about the machines.
You do,
right? You don't really want to know that there's a bunch of virtual machines there, but you still want to think about the containers. So
exactly.
we get you out of the like out of the virtual machine command line, we get you out of SSH and things like that, and we get you into you know, containers and running things that are your application, not your machine, right? So I hope that people forget about machines, even if they're going to be at a little bit of a lower level than, you know, if they're using a platform as a service or something
right,
like
right.
that.
Right, right. So. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the command line, but it is about finding the right layer of abstraction.
Right.
If I'm SSHing into an IP address and, you know, LSing around, that
right.
may be a little too low level.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, like, you know, there's going to be a balance, right? Some pieces of your software you may want to run in platform as a service, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some pieces of your software need to run on a lower level system. And I think, you know, we go into the same virtual network, we go into the same environment, so that mm-hmm. means you can kind of run a hybrid system like that. So.
What does it look like in Azure?
So, you know, do you want to sit,
yeah,
take a look?
Let's do
right,
it.
Cool.
Let's make one.
So we can, I'm here at the command line. I should say this is all in the new Python Azure CLI. So
okay.
I'm actually pretty excited about that. I actually did a bunch of the code. So we can actually say, you know, say ACS, so Azure Container Service. We can mm-hmm. say create orchestrator type. Because I should say at this point, like, there are a bunch of different orchestrators out there, right? And
of course.
Different people want different things out of it. And so Azure Container Service is actually the only one of the major clouds that supports more than a single orchestrator, right? So if you, it's great, you can use Kubernetes if that's what you want, but if you are doing big data and you want to use Mesos or other orchestrators, that's available as well, and that's what the orchestrator type would choose for you. So you can say orchestrator type. I'm going to give it a resource group.
I think it's cool that Azure is so chill about that. I mean, like, we could be not just prescriptive, but like draconian about, like, you shall use this container service.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that it's really important to realize that in all of this, we really need to meet people where they are.
Exactly.
Right? Like, they have their reasons, or they have pre-existing tools
yep.
that work, and it's just really, that's a really important
yeah.
aspect of the
reality
whole thing.
Reality is a hybrid.
Yeah, exactly. And reality is that they don't come to you clean room, right? They
yeah,
have
yeah.
done stuff before, right?
Yeah.
So ACS DNS prefix. And we're going to just give it a name. We'll say K8's cluster. We call it like I18N. We call it K8's. It's
right.
shorter than Kubernetes. All right, so we can say that. And at this point, what's happening is we're starting the provisioning process for a cluster. It takes about 4 or 5 minutes.
How hard would it be to do it manually?
You know, actually, for the longest time, we got dinged as a project for it being super hard to do manually.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of best practices. Not just, I mean, so I guess setup is hard.
Sure.
But then, like, making sure that the thing you set up works well is also hard, right?
Right.
So it's encapsulating not just the part that's hard, but also the part that makes it run reliably.
Right.
right?
Well, the whole point of the cloud is to encapsulate like best practices.
Right.
I always joke about how, like, I spent the late 90s learning how to do web forms.
Right.
And now it's a checkbox.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I feel
yeah.
bad.
Oh, we got it.
But that's super important, right?
We got an error here.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Resource completed. So what did it fail?
It failed because
pre-flight validation failed.
So
did we put in the wrong name?
It's possible. I would have to go in and look at the deployment. I don't know. Do we want to?
No, it's okay.
All right.
It's probably just we typed something wrong. Did you make one beforehand?
I did actually make one beforehand. So I actually do have another cluster here. You can
right,
see
let's
my
look at one we made before.
Here. Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
So we can actually say at this point we can use the kube control command line. Say
right.
kube control git nodes. Yeah. Clearly I'm not prepared here.
No, it's all good.
So you can see here we have the nodes that are there. And actually if we dive into this resource group over here, you know, there are all of the machines and all of this stuff.
So that's all the stuff you didn't have to have made.
This is all the stuff that you know, I mean, we use the ARM and an ARM template, obviously,
right,
to do
the
this
resource
stuff.
Manager.
So it's you know, a little bit easier than that, but that's a lot of stuff that goes into making a Kubernetes cluster. And instead, you know, with a command line, you have these nodes. And actually, honestly, you probably even shouldn't think about the nodes themselves. You can actually say something like, you know, I just want to run the Nginx web server. You were mentioning web server farms before.
Yeah, sure.
I can actually just say kubectl run Nginx images Nginx.
So you have a container out there.
It's a container that's willing, and I want three replicas of it. And I'm going to do that. And so it's created this thing, it's called a deployment. And that's basically encapsulating those three things, right?
Are they starting up?
Yeah, and so now we can actually take a look.
Did they already get started up?
They should be up, I would suspect, at this point. So we can say git pods. And there you go, there are three Nginxs. I actually have a Node.js service that I was running earlier.
That's crazy, it was just like that.
Yeah, so I mean, one of the things about containers really is that they're way, way, way lower overhead than virtual machines, mm-hmm. right? And so they come up and they go down much, much faster, which means you can dynamically scale things very quickly.
So if you would go back to the portal there and show me those. So when I pay for Kubernetes on Azure Container Service, do I just simply pay for the resources that I'm using, or am I paying
for
Kubernetes?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, no, you pay for the resources that you're using, right? We're really just about making it easy for you to spin up and use those resources.
So for example, you've got a couple of virtual machines here of whatever size you picked.
Right.
You just pay for those.
Yeah.
And
network traffic.
Network traffic.
You know, whatever else you would have done, right?
That's so nice. There's no overhead.
Yeah, no, there's no overhead. There's no charge. Really, I think that what we're recognizing is that this is a place where people just need help over the hurdle, help over the complexity boundary, as you said, right? And so we don't need to charge extra for that. We just want them to be able to come and use Azure for the container workloads that they want to run. So.
And what kind of things could I run into a container for people who may not be familiar?
You know, I think that generally speaking, the people come to it first and they run stateless web apps. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of the easiest. Those are the things that you want to scale out. And again, as I said, like this cluster, it's in your virtual network. If you want to run a database on a traditional virtual machine, even on a Windows virtual machine, you can connect from your stateless web app in containers to that database. So I think that over time people start doing stateful things, and they usually start with what I would call more cloud native stateful things, Cassandra or MongoDB. Mm-hmm. But you know, I know people who run MySQL. One of the things that Kubernetes enables actually is that you can mount an Azure virtual disk into your container, right? And
nice.
It will move around the different machines, right? So if your container moves from one machine to another machine, the data actually moves with that container. And that enables things like MySQL to run a little bit easier.
Yeah, you have a little bit of state.
Yeah, exactly. And the state follows you around the cluster.
Very cool. Well, this is a great overview, a nice kind of a 101 introduction. We'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll do another video on maybe using this and some of the more administrative tools.
Awesome.
We're learning all about Kubernetes and Azure Container Service here on Azure Friday.